Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Welcome back to Reading the Word. Let's get right into the Word. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Word of God. I hope you have your Bible with you. We're eventually going to get to a study of Noah, but we're covering some introductory material, and by doing that, we're covering the first five chapters of the Bible. That's Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We're in the middle of chapter 3. Where Adam and Eve has just been tempted by the serpent. They have given into that temptation. They have eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which we do not know what the fruit is. You will see it depicted often as apples or pears in paintings, but the Bible doesn't say, and since the Bible doesn't say, I can't tell you what it is without a shadow of a doubt. So they ate some kind of a fruit that God told them not to. End of story. They were hiding from God, and we were ending on verse 11, and God said, Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. Have you eaten of that tree? And the man said, and look, he's passing the buck, blaming his wife. The woman that you gave me, she gave me the food. We should learn that we should never try to pass the blame for something that we've done, because it never works to our advantage. It always works to our demise. Verse 13, God asked the woman, Why have you done this? And she said, The serpent beguiled me, and I ate. So at least she admits what had happened. She had been tricked, duped, deceived. And the Lord God said to the serpent, verse 14, Because thou hast done this, he places a curse. Thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Genesis 3:15, if you have not underlined this verse in your copy of the Word of God, I would encourage you to do that. It's the first prophecy about the Messiah. It's a messianic prophecy about Christ. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan is going to hurt the heel of Christ, make him limp, but a blow to the head is unrecoverable, and that's what Christ did to Satan when he died upon the cross. Verse 16, the woman now has pain in childbirth, the husband to rule over her. Verse 17, Adam gets more of the blame. Why? Because Adam did what he did. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and the dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. We'll pause there until we come back. So Adam and Eve are going to be cast out of the Garden of Eden. They're going to have to work for their food. It's not going to be handed to them out of the sweat of their brow. They're going to have to work instead of living in this place that is a literal translation of paradise. Verse 21, And unto Adam also his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You remember last week when we were studying that they had covered up their nakedness with a form of a tunic or a smock? Two things I want us to look at here. One, that barely covered their nakedness. When God makes them these coats of skins, it goes from the shoulders to well past the knees. That tells me that's what God views as modest. Not something that barely covers the areas. That's what God views as modest. And secondly, I want to ask you this question as an intellectual, because that's what you are. You're an intellectual. You can reason things among yourselves. Where did these coats of skins come from? Did God run to Dollar General, which seems like on every corner, every 5 miles, and run and pick them up some coats of animal skins and come back and say, Here, try these on. I hope they're your size. No, that's not what God did. God killed some animals and took their skins and fashioned them into clothing. Why are we looking at this? Because man had tried to cover up his sin on his own, and it did not work. But only when blood was shed, only when animals were sacrificed, was there a forgiveness of that sin. Under the Old Testament law, in Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement, in order to remove sins, what had to happen? Animals had to be sacrificed. What happened on the cross? Jesus Christ died. What is he called? He's called the Lamb of God. He sacrificed his life so that we might live. God did what he had to do. Sin is always involved, or a death of an animal is always involved, or death of something is always involved to remove sins. The Hebrew writer tells us today that blood of bulls and goats will not do it. It would only take that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now back to our lesson text. They are thrown out of the Garden of Eden, chapter 4, verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare a son. His name is Cain. He said, because I have gotten a man from the Lord, and again she bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, Cain a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Adam and Eve, their job to populate the earth, they do this when they get out of the Garden of Eden, have Cain and Abel. They've also had other kids, we'll get to that, the Bible says, and sons and daughters and other passages. Cain and Abel, one works in the ground, one works in the field, tending animals. Both bring a sacrifice. The animal sacrifice is pleasing to God, the best that he had, while we see that Cain, he just gave whatever. Abel gave the best of his flock. Cain gave whatever. So Cain gets man, and he kills, verse 8, his brother. That's the first death, the physical death. Now, spiritual death has already occurred when man was separated from God, threw him out of the garden. We have that great hallmark passage, am I my brother's keeper? There is a punishment that is put upon Cain. He's supposed to roam the earth the rest of his life. He has a mark on him so that no one will kill him. And guess what? People say, oh no, there is death in the story. That's the end of it. But there is a redemption moment. Verse 25 of Genesis chapter 4. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, called his name Seth. For God, saith she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Why is Seth so important? Because that's the line of which Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, comes into the earth. That's God's powerful redemptive plan. We will continue studying this redemptive plan right here on this other side of this break, here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
We're back on Reading the Word. Thank you for sticking around with us. Hope you have enjoyed our study so far. I know I have. We're ready to begin Genesis chapter 5 as we're almost ready to make our approach to Noah himself. Now, Genesis chapter 5 is often overlooked too many times because of all the names. People say, oh, Brother Justin, there's those names. I can't pronounce them. I don't know who they were. I think I'm just going to skip over that chapter. Do the same thing with chapter 10. I would encourage you, don't do that. Am I going to pronounce every name right? No. But it's important. Why? Because we see the line by which Christ came into the world. So here's your quick genealogy. I'm going to sum up chapter 5 for you. Of course, Adam. Adam was 930 years old when he lived, but his son Seth was 912. Now, here's what's interesting. Adam was 130 when Seth was born, and he's had other kids. But he spent 800 years with his dad. Enos is Seth's son. Enos lived 905 years, and he spent 665 years with his grandfather Adam. Now, Canaan lived 910 years. He spent 575 years with Adam. You'll see why I'm saying this here in a minute. Mahalalel was next in the genealogy, number 5. He lived 895 years, and he spent 505 years with Adam. Jared was next. He was 962 years. He lived 440 years, overlapping Adam. Number 7 was Enoch, which the book of Jude tells us was a prophet. He lived 365 years. He spent 308 of those years overlapping Adam. He lived the youngest because he walked with God, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and he was not, because God took him. He was a righteous man. Enoch had a son whose name was Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old, and there were 243 years that he overlapped the lifespan of Adam. And Lamech was number 9. He lived 770 years. There were 56 years when he overlapped with Adam. And then number 10 is Noah. Noah lived 950 years, but he did not get to meet Adam. Now, why am I saying how long these people overlapped Adam? Maybe you've met somebody. Me, I like talking to people, for instance, who were involved in the Second World War or the First World War, and I love hearing their stories. And maybe, depending on how long you've been blessed to live on this earth, you may have met somebody who served in the Civil War or any of these other wars that we have been involved in. You could go up to him and say, "Hey, Mr. So-and-so, what was that like?" Can you imagine Methuselah walking up to Adam and say, "Hey, great, 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 great grandfather, what was it like in the Garden of Eden? What was it like when you and Eve were there and you had the serpent and you were walking with God? What was it like when you named all the animals?" Can you imagine how cool that would be? I also find it cool that both Noah and Enoch, the Bible records, they walked with God. They walked with God, and they knew Adam. Well, let's continue our story, because at the end of Genesis chapter 5, we have a man whose name is Noah. He's 500 years old, and he has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and we're going to study a lot about them. And as our study continues, here's we're looking at Noah. Noah enters the scene, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." They're multiplying. How are they multiplying? That's God's given plan of reproduction. That's one man and one wife procreating. Now, people have called and asked, and they said, "Well, who are they procreating with? Other people on the earth, where did they come from? Did God make another Adam?" No. But everybody mentioned in Genesis chapter 5 had sons and daughters that aren't recorded by name. Why aren't they recorded by name, you ask? Because they don't carry the line of Christ. So they're not that important. They're still important, yes, don't get me wrong. But they're not as important. And so they're multiplying, and the people say, "Wouldn't that incest, if you're doing it with a cousin, having sexual intercourse with a cousin?" Well, that wasn't a sin yet. God doesn't give those laws until later. So not really. Verse number 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is with man, he also is flesh. His days shall be 120 years." In the first five chapters of the book of Genesis, the youngest person to live that we have recorded was Enoch. And he was 365 years because God took him. And then you have Lamech, 777, 1895, and the rest are in the 900s. But yet God now is shortening that lifespan. Why? Because these people had lived a long time to recreate, procreate, if you will. We also don't know if it was a natural 10-month process like it is today, or if it was shortened. God could do that. But regardless, the lifetime of people, it's shortened. Now let's look at verse 4, where a lot of people seem to get tripped up on. "There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and some became mighty men, which were of old men of renown." Now on this giants, number one, people think that these may be the same giants that the spies, when they see Canaan in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, the Bible says, "And there we saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which some of the giants, when we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, as we were in their sight." This can't be the same people, because all these giants died in the flood. Nobody survived unless you were on the ark. And secondly, this word giants is translated Nephilim, means fallen ones. It can translate to angels, which some people like to think angels came down and had sexual intercourse with people on this earth. But there are no genders of angels, and the Bible tells us angels don't give in marriage, neither are they given in marriage. They don't marry. But it can also translate to somebody that's fallen away. I want us to consider that angle. These people that had fallen away, they were unfaithful, or they had no faith at all in God. And one wickedness plus one wickedness equals one wickedness. They just keep going. And so, in every generation, every person born, they were farther and farther away from God. So I can't, in a good, full assurance of faith, tell you that those are angels. Now, why were they giants? I don't know. Why are there people that are taller today than other people? That's just how genetics works. That's God's law working in the natural affairs of man. These people were not giants. But quickly, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It was a wicked world. I hope you can join us for our next study. We're going to see just how wicked it was and also God's divine plan for saving man. Hope you'll join us next week for more Reading the Word. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.